Hey everybody, welcome to Players on Films. This week we're talking about Clueless.
Hit the music!
Michael Flaherty.
I'm Colleen Flaherty.
This is Flaherty's on Films, a podcast about films.
Yep. And we're reviewing some fan-requested films. This week, a little cool person named Michelle Block requested Clueless. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's pretty obscure.
Yeah, she's our sister-in-law.
Yeah. So this is from 1995. Michael, what's it about?
Here's a description. A rich high school student tries to boost a new pupil's popularity, but reckons about affairs of the heart getting in the way.
But reckons without affairs of the heart getting in the way. What a weird sentence.
Maybe that's combining a description of the book.
Michael,
because it's written so flowerily.
Have you ever read Jane Austen?
Nope. What's the best one?
Persuasion.
Why?
I don't know. It's one of the weirder ones, which I like.
So it was a bit?
No.
It's the best one.
Sincerely. I think. I also really like Mansfield Park. I also really like Emma, which we'll get into more later. Michael, this is sincere. I do not know how you feel about this film at all. Tell us what your first impressions were.
Thought it was fine. I've seen the film before.
Oh, you had seen it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I was like, all right, it's a movie. I like the characters, so it's fun to kind of be around the characters. But I kind of thought, I'm wondering how much I would like the story of it. Because I kind of felt like the story was kind of just meandering. I like the characters. I was excited to go on a journey with them. But I didn't feel like it was much of a journey.
I don't feel like it was a plot-heavy film. But you don't watch Mean Girls for the story, do you?
I like the story of Mean Girls.
Me too. I like this film a lot.
Okay.
But I don't know if I like it because I've just liked it.
However, what were your first impressions watching it this time?
I've watched it so many times, I don't know if I can have a fresh perspective.
All right, just tell me some thoughts then.
I just really like it.
All right.
Honestly, this was probably the first time I've noticed some more problematic parts about it.
Yeah.
But we can talk more about that later. It's still great.
You know what we should do first?
What should we do
first? Our first segment, bam!
Time for Sam, the part of the show where Sam comes on and tells us some totally rad facts. Take it away, Sam.
Amy Heckerling had already kind of been like a high school writer for Hollywood.
What's a high school writer?
She's done other high school projects.
Okay. Like 90210 kind of stuff?
Yeah. So she went to the studio and they said, we want you to do something about teenagers, end quote.
They went to the right person. She's a high school writer.
And she's, quote, and I thought, I'm so tired about doing stuff about teenagers. But they said, we want you to do something about the in crowd. And I thought, I'll do it if I can make fun of them. So she
started, I don't actually know what that means, the in crowd.
The populars.
Oh,
you've never heard that term, the in crowd?
Never in my life.
You want to be in with the in crowd.
But that could be any crowd.
No, it's the populars.
But
they're the in crowd.
You can also, like, if you're at a, in a work situation, you want to be in with the people who are in the know, the in crowd.
Well, that would be the no crowd.
That would be confusing because people can't see how you spell it.
There's different crowds. Just saying. I don't think it's a good term.
Well, maybe that's why people don't use it as much anymore.
Maybe.
So she started kind of writing and working on a project and was actually kind of writing more of a TV show versus like a movie.
I believe Clueless was a TV show.
I'll get there.
Oh, sorry.
But kind of coming up with this idea. And then,
yeah, if you want facts, we can tell you.
Yeah, do you want to just go, Colleen?
No, I mean, you go first and we'll let you know.
So then, quote, I started to think, what's the larger context for that kind of nothing can go wrong, always look through rose-colored glasses kind of girl? And I remembered Emma, which I had read in college. So I took it out and reread it. And I said, unconsciously, I had been writing an Emma-like character. Because I've always loved it, and part of it had sort of stored it away in my brain. So I really related to her and got into it. And the plot was so brilliantly laid out in Emma, so I tried to take all the things that were in this sort of pretty 1800 worlds and see what it would look like in Beverly Hills.
For those of you who have not read Emma, it is a plot beat for beat of Emma with all the characters. It's a very, very well done adaptation. I would say it's like a better adaptation than any of the Shakespeare high school movies, if you're just talking about from book to reality.
Right. Which is why I think it's kind of interesting that this is how it came around. Like, she was kind of just creating like this character idea. And then just the fact that Emma related so well to it. Mm. Like, I think that's really fascinating.
Well, I think she said something about how the insular world of high society in the English countryside, where it's, you know, it's only a few families and it's a very strict hierarchy, but it's so insular, is really similar to like a hyper-privileged high school.
Right, yeah.
So that was interesting.
So speaking of the high school, since she was writing a school about Beverly Hills high schoolers, she decided to go to the Beverly Hills High School for research. So she sat around kind of trying to get their lingo and how they kind of...
That'd be such a hard job. Like, I'm just going to be...
Pervin on teenagers?
Yeah.
I think it's the 90s. It was a different time.
Yeah. Well, to quote her, the only thing I observed was that these girls were in a constant state of grooming. Which
I think it would be so hard to do nowadays because you would, well, first of all, in modern times, they don't like people just staring at teenagers all day.
Weird.
But also they're just on their phones all the time. So it'd be hard to observe anything.
I was surprised because I watched the beginning of this with you about how many kids were on their phones in the class in this one.
But they were talking on their phones.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is, you know, kind of delightfully outdated for even us people here who are not kids.
So this I thought was a really interesting fact. So one of the things she wanted to do was learn how to speak like a high schooler. So that's one of the reasons she went to the school. And she did get some of the phrases from that, but some of the phrases she just invented herself. However, the most famous phrase, as if, actually came from the lesbian community.
No way!
So according to her, any outsider group is going to create their own language, whether it's homosexual, black prisoners, or cab drivers. You just have to be willing to open your ears and listen.
Whoa. I was wondering if some of the language was a bit silly in it, like if it was a little overdone. But, you know, I guess that is how teenagers talk. Like, I don't know, people who are like...
Yeah, but they did it as a bit.
Sure, but I'm sure if you go to a high school, you'd see obnoxious kids who talk like meme lords or whatever. That's a thing that they would hamily use.
Doesn't mean it has to be in the film, though.
So you're saying even if that's how teenagers are, it's too annoying? Like, maybe people shouldn't make movies that are faithfully about teenagers.
Right.
There are definitely, like, stupid phrases that we all knew growing up. Like,
exactly.
Talk to the hand.
So I think Mikey's not arguing that it's inauthentic. He's just saying it's annoying.
So you don't have to be authentic.
Right. So now you had to cast the characters, and there was a lot of famous actors who auditioned, but honestly...
Like who?
There was a lot. I just don't remember any of
them. Is Alicia Silverstone, was she famous at the time?
Thank you for asking. She's actually my first one I want to talk about. So Alicia Silverstone had
been
in a movie...
Can you prompt me when you want me to ask you about Stacey Dash?
I don't really want to talk about Stacey
Dash. I want to talk about Stacey Dash!
I really don't.
Oh, okay.
You can talk about her. I will not.
She's hot.
Silverstone.
Everybody check out her bananas Twitter.
Oh, God. Or don't, for your own sanity. So Ashley Silverstone had been in one movie called The Crush. So her casting director was kind of trying to push her into this role because of The Crush. And she's like, look at her. She can play a great teenager. However, Heckerling had seen the music video for Aerosmith's Crying, which Alicia Silverstone is in.
With his daughter.
No, that one's Crazy.
Isn't she in that one too?
Yeah, she's in three of his music videos. Or oh, their okay. music videos, I should say. So apparently she was watching this music video and quote, I saw the crying video for Aerosmith, and when Alicia gave the finger, I said, there's my girl. Wow. So like her casting director's like, look at this movie she was in, The Crush. And she's like, yeah, no, I just want the girl from the Aerosmith video. And they're like, oh, funny, you should say that. That's actually her. So she got the role because of that. Before that, she'd only done the movie and really the Aerosmith. So she was not famous.
Oh.
Another person who would become famous, though, is Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd.
Who's he?
He is the sexiest superhero.
Mm.
He's in Anchorman.
Oh, yeah.
He's the celery man, I
he's
believe.
He
man.
Married Phoebe on Friends.
Can I get a printout of Oyster Smiling?
Sorry.
Are you going to put a clip of that?
Well, I have to. It's going to make no sense.
Give me a printout of Oyster Smiling.
Okay.
So originally, Paul Rudd auditioned for the role of Christian because he was really excited about playing a cool gay kid. But he didn't get the part. So then he wanted to, he asked to audition for the part of Murray because he said, I thought he was kind of a funny hip hop wannabe. I did not realize that the character was African American. He would eventually get the role of, I can't remember his name.
Josh.
Thank you. Sorry. For some reason I blanked. Another famous person to come from this movie was Brittany Murphy. She was the youngest cast member at 17 years old when this film was being made.
May she rest.
Who is this?
Brittany Murphy.
Ty. She died when she was like 29 or something.
Dang.
She was like 30.
Oh, okay. That's super different.
Oh, never mind.
But she died of pneumonia.
Damn.
Complications from drug use also, but
yeah.
Sure.
Technically in pneumonia. Go on, Sam.
So to quote Brittany Murphy, it's hard for me to believe that it's been 10 years since the movie. I really was a virgin who couldn't drive. I was living in an apartment in the valley with my mom. And I remember starting to see these huge billboards of us all over town. It was amazing.
She was 32. It's very sad.
It's so sad.
Her husband died like right after.
I know.
It was weird.
It's very sad.
So anyways, even though this is a movie about high schoolers, three of the actors were actually in their 20s. Paul Rudd, Stacey Dash, and Donald.
Who's Stacey Dash?
Stacey Dash was the oldest at the age of 27. End of facts about her.
But what else does she do?
That's it.
Has she been in other movies or have any interesting political opinions?
This sounds like a bit I literally don't know.
Did she do any cable news network shows?
Does she?
She was a huge supporter of Mitt Romney.
That's fine. Sorry, guys. Hate
Donald Trump.
Oh, what's
for blacks or Trump?
Yep.
Well, she can have opinions. That's fine.
She was kicked off of Fox News
for being too controversial.
So what actually happened? So she was a commentator on Fox News for a while, and right after a terrorist attack, she went on this whole rant about how Obama doesn't care about terrorism and he wants the terrorists to win.
And you didn't want to talk about this?
No.
And I'm thinking that if she was on Fox News now and said that, she probably wouldn't get kicked off, which kind of shows how bananas things have gotten. But so, yeah, now she just does book tours and speaking engagements for Trump supporters.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? Here's the latest Stacey Dash tweet. Okay. We have a limited amount of time on this earth, and it seems that today we spend much of that time on the internet, our cell phones, and rarely living in the moment. You never know what valuable experience, precious time, and what special moments are slipping past each day.
So basically, she just does it like 10 advice quotes a day like that, like just generic, banal things, and then she'll also quote about Trump.
We all come from different backgrounds and direct different roads that led us to where we are today. We've all faced different emotional, physical pains that shaped our personalities. There is no room for judgment when it comes to other people.
What's her banner picture, Michael?
What is it? It just says Stacey Dash.
Oh.
The other day it was just Trump. But
well, okay.
Anyway, sorry, go on.
Filming took place between November 21st and December 31st in 1994. You guys both just Googling Stacey Dash.
No.
No. Don't even do that to me.
It took place mostly in and around Hollywood and Beverly Hills.
She's married 4 times.
Shit.
She voted for Barack Obama, too, in 2008.
This is parallel fact-giving. The throughput of facts into this podcast.
She hangs out
Remember
with...
when I said I didn't want to talk about her?
Hangs out with Paul Ryan.
Damn, nice. We could read Ayn Rand together.
She said transgender rights infringe upon her own.
Sure.
She ran for Congress.
Alicia Silverstone had 63 costume changes in this movie.
That's a lot. That's one per minute almost.
Okay, I'm done with Stacey Dash. Sorry.
Are you?
Yeah, she's not actually that interesting.
Do you guys know what the most expensive outfit she wore was?
The dress.
Oh, I think it's the yellow plaid number.
The custom-made yellow plaid.
Because that was very famous.
Mm-hmm. So during one of the parties, they play a game called Suck and Blow.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to explain what Suck and Blow is?
So you take a card and you suck on it, and then you go to the next person who puts the lips on the opposite side of the card, and then you blow as they suck, so then they can pass to the next person. And then the fun part of the game is if one of you fails, then you accidentally kiss. But you don't actually kiss, because I played Suck and Blow before, and it's just this weird thing where one of you is blowing, one of you is sucking on your lips, and it is not sexy, and it's weird. So yeah, right. Is that?
But you get to say the word suck and blow if you're a high school.
Right, and you're like, tee-hee.
It's funny.
You've played suck and blow?
I've definitely, just like one. I'm sure like we had just watched those, like, hey, let's do that. I'm sure is what happened.
Well, fun fact about that, the cast was actually unable to play the game because they couldn't blow hard enough to keep the real credit card up.
So then I thought it was a playing card. And you're supposed to play it with a playing card because a credit card would be too heavy.
Well, so then they brought in a cardboard card.
Oh.
To try and keep that up, but that still wouldn't work. So they literally drilled holes into it to try and give it like more light. And they still couldn't do it. So the final thing they did to make
Michael,
this work-
are you doing this right now?
Yeah, Michael has pulled out a credit card and is trying to suck it.
Oh, you did it!
Like a second. It's really difficult.
But that's why you use a playing card. Especially because a lot of playing cards have a little hole in the middle. So it's really easy to do. It's not that hard.
There's probably a lot of germs in that.
So go on.
So to actually make this work, what they did is the whole cast had their lips heavily coated in chapstick. Oh. So that it would just stick to their lips.
Ew, but then like if you're the third person in line, there's other people's chapstick all over it. Stacey Dash was arrested for domestic abuse of her husband.
You were done.
I'm done.
Dang.
That's ugh. Anyway, go on.
Let's talk about movie sex. So this is a Paul Rudd quote. I just included it because I thought he was really cute. So he had to kiss Alicia Silverstone at the end of this movie, and he said, "I was psyched." Growing up.
Great start, man.
Growing up, you hear these actors, and granted, they're talking about sex scenes and not just kisses, but they're like, oh, it's all technical. Nothing's there. Nobody's excited. It's all just kind of embarrassing. And I remember thinking, is that really true? And then I remember thinking, this is pretty awesome. I sounded like a total perv.
That's interesting.
They do play suck and blow with a credit card. That's so weird. Maybe that's their like, oh, what a Beverly Hills thing to do it with a credit card.
Michael did it.
I lost the game right away.
But you did it.
Yeah, I would be in the out crowd.
So to get this movie promoted out with the people, they actually released a booklet.
Oh, sorry, go on.
They released a booklet called How to Speak Cluelessly that gave you kind of a, this is what this phrase means. This
you say as means. If.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's chapter one.
Whatever. Yeah, those are pretty... Do you need that explained to you?
The movie was released in the summer of 1995, and it was a slow but definite hit in the box office.
Michael, do you want me to explain to you some more definitions?
Sure.
If someone calls you a Baldwin, that's positive.
Oh, nice.
Means you're cute.
Mm.
If someone's a Monet, it means from far away they look all right, but all close up it's a big
mess. They explained that one in the movie.
Oh. Oh, and you've seen it.
And I've seen the movie.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, shit.
Okay, go on.
The film was $12 million to make in its first weekend. It made $10 million, but overall would make $56 million in the box office. 1 year after the film...
I think Sonic the Hedgehog's made $3 million so far.
Why would you know that offhand?
It's just a thing people know.
Have you seen it yet?
No. Apparently it's not good at all.
All right, I'm Michael, shocked. What's a cake boy?
I don't know.
Someone who's gay.
Oh, that seems insensitive.
Yeah. Go on.
I guess all of them are.
What, like friend of Dorothy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oscar Wilde reading. That's another one he said.
Hmm.
So 1 year after the film opened, remember this started off as an idea for a TV show? Well, the Clueless TV show came to be.
Was it animated?
It was not. Oh, it actually starred the original actors who played Amber Murray and... Oh my gosh. Dion. No. Dion. D.
Dion is Stacey Dash.
Yeah.
Stacey Dash, former Fox commentator.
Yeah, no, I got it. So it started those three original, but Rachel Blanchard replaced Alicia Silverstone, who would not be on the TV show. Mm. It ran for three seasons, wrapping in 1999. Also, Clueless the Musical opened in New York City on December 11, 2018.
And never heard of it.
It was actually written by Heckerling.
Huh. So, but did not do well.
Closed on January 12th, 2019.
Oh boy, It was that bad.
And there are talks about a remake, and a lot of the cast are into it, so there hasn't been any definite announces, but... And my final fact for you guys today, this film was nominated for some AFI lists. How many AFI lists do you think it was nominated for?
One.
Two.
Two.
Damn it. Damn it, fuck.
It was nominated for 100 Years, 100 Laughs, and 100 Years, 100 Movie Quotes for As If.
That is not the quote I would pick.
What would you have picked?
You're a virgin who can't drive. Definitely.
Is that a good line?
That's way harsh, Ty. No, but it's like, that's the quote of the movie.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. I was looking at the soundtrack for Clueless the Musical. I was wondering if one of the songs was called As If.
And?
Nope.
Okay.
That was Bam.
Time for Sam. Sorry, was that your cool fact? That nope.
No, none of the songs in this Clueless musical are called As If.
Are they called whatever?
No.
Okay.
Kids in America, All the Young Dudes, Mullet Head, My Forgotten Favorite, Snake, Shake in Action. You know, they go on like that.
Great. So our next segment is Critics Corner. Let's hear what the critics have to say.
Sure.
I'll start out. Clueless is a sweet, comical, satiric, knowing film. And it's anything but clueless, says John J. Huccio of Movie Metropolis.
Damn. Here's from D4C Girl 449. This, I just like that. This is the most girly movie I've ever seen. It was so stupid. And she hooks up with her brother. Not by blood, but ew. I feel sick. Really stupid movie. Was bored and ready for it to be over. Stupid girly relationship crap. Hated it.
Oh, she's too cool for that.
She's too cool for that.
Its goal is humble.
Yeah, she's a girl. She should like it.
To walk the line between bubblegum pop that indulges trends and a half-hearted critique of shallowness. I don't think this is what feminists mean by having it all, says Peter Canavese of Groucho Reviews. He sounds super fun.
Sounds super fun. This is by Girlogor, but an Amazon reviewer. The fact that so many people like this garbage is a real portrait of our modern society. The movie is totally empty, trying to be critical and comic at the same that, but it isn't none of them. It's plain horrible. Totally flat photography, totally unconvincing characters.
I love that review, that it's like, God, we are too smart for this garbage of society, but he cannot spell.
It's a real portrait of modern society.
This is my favorite review from Gene Siskel, famous reviewer of Chicago Tribune. I'm surprised how much I enjoyed Clueless.
You know what? It's okay. This is from Melanie, who is an Amazon reviewer. I like Jane Austen's stories, but this one left much to be desired. My complaint has to do with the overall message and lack of morality that this movie depicts. In my opinion, it's not necessarily nor desirable to view so much filth.
So much filth.
That was Craig Sorner.
Now we go to favorite part, least favorite part. Michael, what was your least favorite part?
Yeah, I already said it. I just didn't like the story that much. I mean, it hurts because I kind of knew the story already. So, like, the part of the film where Cher is hanging out with... Christian is the gay guy?
Yep.
Where Cher starts hanging out with him, but he turns out to be gay, and I kind of already knew that plot point. I was watching this, I'm like, why are we watching this? Like, I just, like, it's not that funny. It's not that interesting, but it just sort of happens for a while.
Because they need to do every plot point of Emma.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's just like, it felt kind of meandering. I don't know.
I guess I just enjoyed seeing things happen to Cher, so I didn't really care that much.
Exactly. I know. I like the characters, but I mean, I also like the characters of Mean Girls, but I felt like Mean Girls constantly escalated.
I was so excited when they watched movies together and he brought over Some Like It Hot and Spartacus. And I was like, we know those movies.
That was maybe my favorite part where she said, hey, we watched Spartacus. I liked that a lot.
I think that was supposed to be a joke because both those movies have gay undertones or famous in the gay community.
Right.
And they show that one scene with Tony Curtis.
Maybe I brought up that because that's maybe a thing that did not age well. I think, oh, he's gay is not a thing that played better in the 90s.
I think what's funny is like in the 95, I bet that was actually quite progressive the way they did it.
Right.
Where it wasn't a bad thing. It was just like, oh, I guess I can't date him because he's gay.
Right. Which now that's not a plot point. It's just like, oh, he's gay. Okay.
Yeah, right. I feel like there was a couple other things that didn't age very well.
Stacey Dash?
Yeah, right.
I mean, she looks great. So she not literally.
Hot. Yeah. Hot.
She didn't literally not age well. But I thought actually some of the race stuff was a little weird. Where so there's only two black characters in the movie. And of course, they're a couple. And no one ever really acknowledges. Because like Stacey's like, oh, I'll just go date someone else. But it's like she dates the only other black guy there. You know, yeah. Do you know what I'm getting at? Where it's kind of weird how they skirt around this fact.
Here's what I'm taking from what you're saying.
Yeah.
Turk from Scrubs.
I know.
Yeah.
He's so fun.
He's fun.
Yeah. And I didn't like that the only two black characters also were just like really dramatic and kind of overly quote unquote street for the time. And it was, I don't know. It just wasn't handled. It would just be a lot better now if they made that movie now. That stuff.
So your least favorite part is racist.
Yeah, but just tone deafly so. Including there's this one scene where they're talking about everyone's absences and they go, oh, and like so-and-so Tran, no absences. And then, you know, she smiles smugly at the camera and they like do that with the only Asian character in a weird way.
Right.
You know, just little stuff like that that's clear that it was made 25 years ago. I also didn't love the romance between her and Josh. Love Paul Rudd.
It's not really good at all, yeah.
Again, it's very similar to Emma in that this sort of... In Emma, it's so much worse because she's like...
Why is Emma good?
Emma's great.
Why? It doesn't seem very good from this perspective.
Because it's a very well-written satire of high society.
Oh, because it is good.
Look, man.
Okay.
Can we... Let me do my bit and then we'll talk about Emma later.
All right, sure.
Yeah, so in Emma, she's 22 and Mr. Knightley, who's the Josh character, he's like 16 years older and a close friend of her dad's who kind of like through the book sort of chides her into being a better person. And then they end up together and it's gross, but it's not gross for the time. So they do a very similar relationship dynamic. But in this movie, Josh is a total douchey college freshman who reads Nietzsche in all black. And I feel like
I do like the douchiness that they portray.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
But Cher's empty-headedness or Cher's worst qualities kind of come around in the end and she grows. But Josh's douchiness, I feel like it gets rewarded. Like, I don't feel like totally. He ever gets a comeuppance for being a total douche. In fact, his douchiness then just becomes he's a good teacher for her.
Yeah.
And I don't like that as a relationship dynamic. I don't care that he's her stepbrother. I only care that he's in college and she's 15 at the beginning of this movie.
And it's not even, they're not even stepbrother, stepsister, right? Because
not anymore yet.
Yeah.
But the fact that he still comes over and her dad treats him like a son still is still a weird dynamic.
So
but
weird.
I don't care that much. I care more about the weird power dynamics in the relationship that they've established.
I'll add to my point that I don't really engage with the story very well when Cher says, oh my gosh, I love Josh. I'm like, who cares? Like, I don't really care about this relationship at all. And
yeah, it's not a great romance.
No.
But I also, what's really funny about Emma is, so Emma, she kind of takes in a Thai character that she like tries to marry off and, you know, be better in society. And at the end of the book, she just ends up with the guy she was originally with. And then her and Emma aren't friends anymore because you should just kind of stick to the class you're in.
Right.
Which I actually feel like kind of happens in this movie where Ty then just goes back to the stoner guy she was into to begin with.
Right. Like in Mean Girls, when Lindsay Lohan joins the Mean Girls, I mean, I feel like that really escalates to something. But when Ty joins the gang, I feel like that doesn't really go anywhere. They just become friends and that's it.
Yeah.
I just don't like the
that
story.
That doesn't bother me as much.
The story not being good?
Yeah. Sincerely, that doesn't bother me that much.
You don't like good stories?
I like good stories. This one not having a very strong story doesn't bother me.
What do you like? Wait, what are we doing now?
What's your favorite part of the film?
So I would say like half the jokes did not work for me, but then I did like the jokes that did work for me, if that makes sense. Like,
isn't which, that most comedies? Most comedies don't hit it 100% of the time.
I mean, a good comedy, I think, is 80-20, and this is probably 40-60.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, when she looks at the camera, she goes, as if, I feel like that's supposed to be a joke, and I'm like, okay, that's it. Like, I didn't really like that. But when they're early in the film, it's like, all right, so here's a report card, and the guy goes, oh, no, I did bad, and he, like, starts to jump out the window. He's like, don't suicide today. It's like, that's kind of fun.
And could the suicide attempts please be postponed till the next period?
Yeah, Wallace Shawn was a fun delight.
Yeah, Wallace Shawn and the actor who's playing the skateboarder kid. I like him too.
Yeah, he's like a guy, right?
He's been in stuff.
He's been in a lot of stuff. So your favorite part was some of the jokes you liked.
I mean, that's all I can like. I don't know what else I would like
Sporadicus.
About it. Exactly. That's a funny bit.
Okay.
What else would I like about it?
Okay, here's some things I liked about it. I like that despite a lot of the stuff not aging well, I liked this for this time. It was a lead character who was really imperfect and shallow and stuff, but she was also really kind and smart. Like, she was complex as much of the genre in the time would allow.
Yeah.
I liked Josh's douchiness a lot. His post-adolescent idealistic phase. It's a quote from the movie. I love the clothes so much, but that's a very personal kid growing up in the 90s thing. But also some of that stuff I would wear now. Actually, this is a little fact about me, is I was a really bad dresser as a kid and would wear just oversized stuff. And mom would try to buy me cool clothes. And it was always based on Clueless. Like,
and you're like, give me Nietzsche.
Michael, I was. I was a fucking douchey, like, eighth grader who would buy a Friedrich Nietzsche book.
Hell yeah.
And mom would get me, like, those, the tank top and then the clear silk tops and the plaid. And I'd be like, oh my God. That's what just, like, ordinary girls are into.
That's very funny.
I also like that this movie, when I was younger especially, I liked it when it would make me feel smart and literary that I got all the Emma references.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that. Emma was one of my favorite Jane Austen movies, probably just because of that. Yeah. So, do you want to just talk about Emma super briefly?
Sure. I don't know anything about it.
Okay. So... it's a really, really good remake.
Describe it by saying just it's good. Like, you have to say what it is.
You want me to finish my sentence?
Now you can. Just that's the parameters of the conversation.
So Emma's very unique from Jane Austen's other books because a lot of Jane Austen's books are kind of romantic novels where the heroine needs to find someone to marry because they don't have a lot of money or just because, you know, that's not how women inherited property at the time. So Emma... the start of the book, she's like, I'm never going to get married because I'm already independently wealthy. I'm just a super clever person who lives in this isolated society. I'm going to be a matchmaker and I'm going to be wisdom for the ages despite being super immature because of her.
So it was a point that like, I'm not going to get married.
Yeah,
which is different than this movie.
No. At the beginning of the movie, Cher's like, oh, I'm never going to date high school boys.
Different than never going to get married.
It's the same idea.
It's not the same idea because she's like, I like boys, but high school boys are a little immature.
So she was going to wait till college.
That's not that. That's different.
It's similar.
It's not. It's quite different, I think.
Okay. So I just think it's a very good representation where.
Yeah, you said it's good.
Because.
Okay, why?
Because they're doing a good satirization of privilege and the cluelessness that can come from being in an isolated, privileged area or like a Beverly Hills high school, like an insular countryside aristocracy.
What's some good satire examples that they do? What's some good satirization?
Were smarter.
Yeah.
I mean, just the kind of shallowness and silliness of high society. How people are so concerned with how you dress and how you appear, but making it the kind of making mental hurdles to make it seem like an intellectual pursuit. Like they do in this movie, where Cher is inviting Brittany Murphy to be in the popular ground. She's like, this is the kindest thing I could do. This is what charity is, that I'm going to take her from being a stoner to being popular and pretty. That's the sort of myopic thinking you have when you grow up in privilege.
Does she unlearn that in this movie?
Yeah, because at the end she learns how to actually be charitable. But in a realistic way, a teenager would think that.
Here's my just reading of it, just watching it now, is like, she was like, oh, I'm going to do her a favor and let her into our in-group. And then they're just friends. Like, it just kind of morphs and there's no lesson learned.
So at the end of it, when she's like, oh, she should have just been with Travis the whole time and I should have just been her friend. She shouldn't have been my project.
I don't really feel like a lesson was learned. They're just friends now.
The lesson is, if you want to do good, actually do charity, not with and don't mess with people's lives.
Just saying.
That's the same lesson of Emma.
I did not feel it.
That's fair. But Okay, we can stop talking about Jane Austen.
Doesn't sound good, in my perspective.
Well, if you don't like classic novels like that, you probably wouldn't like.
You're right. I'm just not that smart. That's why.
That's not what I meant.
That's what you meant. That's what I heard.
No.
Yeah. Well, I just don't have a big brain.
No. I don't know anything about computers. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that at all.
Well, if you don't like literature.
I don't like literature. I'm just like every other teenage girl who read Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, well, I'm giving you shit.
I don't want you to think I thought that. I'm a moron. That's what I meant.
Stop. Let's go to our intern summary.
Which, by the way, I didn't have a lot of time this week. So this summary is from the Clueless Wiki. Which, why does that exist? How is there enough information for there to be a wiki?
You know what I do legitimately like? That her name is Cher. So that makes me laugh. Just that her name is Cher.
Well, they do that joke that her and Dion are both named after aging pop stars who do infomercials.
Yeah, I like that. It's a good joke.
I didn't get that joke as a kid. And then I'm like, oh, Celine Dion. Or Dionne Warwick. Is that who she meant? That's who she meant. Yeah, there were some fun jokes that didn't age well. Like, she talks about how Marky Mark planted a tree. Like, oh, he took away from his busy pants-dropping schedule. And I'm like, that's Mark Wahlberg. He's a respected actor now. That's funny.
Yeah, I had lacked context for all that.
And we're going to our intern summary of the film Clueless.
Do a clean starts.
Yay! Cher Horowitz, played by Alicia Silverstone, is a good-natured but superficial girl who's attractive, popular, and extremely wealthy. A few months shy of her 16th birthday, because she's 15, remember that.
Why do we have to remember that?
Because it's just gross that her freshman college would go after her, I think.
Oh, yeah. That is weird.
She has risen to the top of her high school social scene and is happy and self-assured in her insular, fashion-obsessed world. She lives in her Beverly Hills mansion with her father, Mel, a ferocious $500-an-hour litigator. Her mother has long since died, having succumbed to complications while undergoing liposuction surgery. That's weird that they would make that a joke as to how her mom died.
Yeah, yeah.
Cher's best friend is Dion Davenport. What
cool
a great
name.
Why did they never say her first and last name? That's so great.
I don't know if I like the name Stacey Dash more. I think that's a cool name, too.
Dion Davenport is much better.
Oh, yeah, you're right. What the fuck am I thinking?
But I love alliterations. She is also rich, pretty, and hip. And understands what it's like to be envied.
Among the few people to find much fault with Cher is Josh, played by Paul Rudd, her socially conscious ex-stepbrother who visits during a break from college. Josh and Cher spar continually, but without malice. She refers to him as granola breath and mocks his scruffy idealism, while he teases her for being selfish, vain, and superficial, and says that her only direction in life is toward the mall.
I actually do like their back and forth, but I didn't find that they had any sexual tension. It did actually seem like a brother and sister spar.
Yeah, it
most
did.
Of the time.
How do you feel about Alicia Silverstone as an actress in this film?
I thought she did a great job, but I don't know if I came away from this film thinking she was a great actress.
I think I felt the exact same way. Like, I don't think she's a good actress, but she's perfect in this film.
Yeah. I've seen her in other films where I liked her, but I've never like been bowled over by
her. Is she in anything else?
Blast from the Past with Brendan Fraser. For some reason, I've seen that movie like 10 times.
What's the some reason?
So it was, I used to spend summers with some cousins of ours, and it was Rachel's favorite film.
Whoa.
So we watched it a lot.
That's a new Rachel fact I learned.
I don't think it is anymore. You know what? I hope it is. I hope it still is.
Might be my new favorite film. It's
Christopher
great.
Walken, isn't it?
You had me at Brendan Fraser. Come on.
What's that?
Explain the plot.
Oh, the plot is that so Christopher Walken is super paranoid about the Soviets coming in and bombing. So he builds a super elaborate fallout shelter. And so the Cuban Missile Crisis is happening. So he takes his family down to the fallout shelter. It's the 60s.
Yeah.
And then a plane falls on their house while they're in the fallout shelter. So he thinks the bomb has gone off. So then they live in this fallout shelter for 35 years. Because the baby who becomes Brendan Fraser is born in the fallout shelter.
I think I might have seen this.
Right. So then he comes out in either late 90s or 2000s L.A. to find it a wasteland, quote unquote. And he has to go get supplies for his parents because they're running out of supplies.
I love this film.
It's, you know what? It's not bad. Anyway,
I really want to see this.
That was so she and she plays the love interest in that.
I'm very much gonna watch this movie tonight. where are we?
Who cares?
Let's talk. Who fucking cares? Toward the mall, so to prove him wrong to you.
So to prove him wrong, Cher plays matchmaker for two lonely, nerdy, hard-grading teachers, Mr. Hall and Miss Geist. In the book, it was her governess and the lonely widower on her inner society. Anyway, she achieves her ostensible purpose to make them relax their grading standards so she can renegotiate a bad report card. But when she sees their newfound happiness, she realizes she actually enjoys doing good deeds. What did you think of that thing where she renegotiated her grades? Did you find that cute?
I mean, cute is not the right word, but kind of funny. Fun. It was enjoyable to see.
Right. When she goes to her dad and he goes, how is this the same report card? And she's like, I just negotiate my way. I never take a
when he offer. Said, like, I'm more proud than if you had actually got those grades. That's I do like that a lot.
I did too.
Cher now decides that the ultimate way she can give back to the community would be to adopt, quote, a quote, tragically unhip new girl to school, Ty Frazier. Sort of like Brendan Fraser. Cher and Dion give Ty a makeover and initiate her to the mysteries of popularity. Ooh. Cher also tries to extinguish the strong mutual attraction between Ty and Travis Birkenstock, which is his name.
Yeah, that's a shoe. That's a funny name.
An amiable skateboard. I just love this actor guy. An amiable skateboarding slacker, and to steer her toward Elton, a rich snob whose father is a music industry executive.
Her second matchmaking scheme backfires when Elton rejects Ty and makes a play for Cher. That was a crazy scene where she's in the car with Elton. He comes on to her and she's like, oh, no, you were for Ty's. Oh, do you know who my father's? Then he abandons her in the valley and she gets held up at gunpoint. But it's kind of a joke.
It's kind of a bit like she's not like crying.
That seems really horrifying.
I would be crying as like if this happened to me now.
Yeah.
If I imagine if I was a 7 or 15-year-old girl.
Yeah, I would be pretty upset. So she goes to the payphone. She's like, well, I can't call my dad, so I have to call Josh, which I don't understand why she knows Josh's number.
Can you call the police?
Yes. Yes, you can call the police if you have been robbed.
I'd call the police, maybe. That's maybe I'm just like weird.
That's a weird thing you do. And I believe it's not in the summary, but what do you think of the scene where Josh is talking with his girlfriend and she's just being super pretentious and, you know, saying, oh, but we need to derive it to its most fecund point, as Hamlet says, to thine own self be true. And then Cher says, Hamlet didn't say that. I think I know Shakespeare. And then she goes, I think I know Mel Gibson. And it was that Polonius guy.
It's funny on a surface level because, like, haha, she dunked her. But, like, I don't get what the point is. Exactly.
So here's my problem with that is, like, that pretentious asshole girlfriend, like, that seems perfect for Josh. And then it seems yeah. to indicate in his character that he doesn't want someone who's his intellectual equal. He wants someone who looks up to him and wants to learn from him, which I know that dynamic is very true of college freshmen who think they're super smart. Dudes, let's be clear.
Bros.
But I don't like it. I don't like that he's the hero.
You got a better reading than I did. I just thought, haha, dunked her.
Got it.
Got her. Ha ha.
I mean, right. That she's a bit of a fraud, I guess, is funny, but that bothered me.
You're right. You could read some bad stuff into it.
Anyway, what are we doing? Her second matchmaking scheme backfires when Elton rejects Ty and makes a play for Cher. Oh, wait. Matters worsen when Cher's project works a bit too well and Ty's popularity begins to surpass Cher's, especially after Ty had a near-death misadventure at the mall that helps her skyrocket her to fame. Other classmates, including Dion and Cher's longtime rival Amber, soon gravitate toward Ty, and Cher finds herself demoted from queen to courtier at high school. What a weird summary this is. And they totally miss the whole Christian bit, where she finally found a guy that she could see herself with, but he turns out to be an Oscar Wilde reading friend of
Dorothy.
You
can see my point that this movie spends a little bit of time on that. And it's like, we don't need to spend so much time on that. It's not that interesting that it's like that she likes a guy who's gay.
Dude, did you like it when he said, do you like Billie Holiday? And she goes, I love him.
I don't get it.
Billie Holiday's a woman. That was the joke.
That's pretty funny, actually. I'm not like a reader. Events reach crisis stage after Cher fails her driver's test and can't renegotiate the result. When Cher returns home crushed, Ty confides that she's taken a fancy to Josh and wants Cher to help her get him. Cher says she doesn't think Josh is right for Ty, and then they quarrel. Cher left all alone.
And then she says, "Why would I take advice from you? You're a virgin who can't drive." I don't know why she has a New York accent. And
because she just does. That's just because she's from New York.
And Cher goes, "That was way harsh, Ty."
I don't get why that's like a famous line. That is a line from the movie.
It's just a line that's oft quoted. I don't get why any lines are famous for movies.
That's true.
It's just one of those that I've heard quoted a lot.
I get why "I am your father" is quoted a lot, because it's snappy.
Sure.
Snapped. I called her Snam.
Not as good as like, all's good here. How are you doing?
That's so funny. But that's too many words. People don't say that a lot.
That was way harsh. Ty is very snappy.
I'm your father. Quicker.
It's no, I am your father.
But it's less snappy. People don't say that version.
People always misquote it. Yeah.
Yeah. People don't say "I see dead people," Bruce Willis. They just say "I see dead people."
It's weird that he called him Bruce Willis in the film.
That's actually not his name. Feeling totally clueless, she reflects on her priorities and repeated failures to understand and appreciate the people in her life. Most of all, she keeps thinking about Josh and Ty and wonders why she cares so much.
After much soul searching, Cher realizes she's fallen totally head over heels in love with Josh.
Oh.
She begins making awkward but sincere efforts to live a more purposeful life. I hate that I liked the scene where she's watching CNN. She's like, and Josh says, "You look confused." And she said, I thought they declared peace in the Middle East."
That's funny.
And that joke is still relevant today.
It's still relevant.
Which, cool. So she, makes a more purposeful life, even captaining the school's Pismo Beach disaster relief effort. Yeah, some of this film is actually quite sincere and cute. I mean, sure, it's not that much to do one charity drive to become a better person, but it is realistic. This is how a person with privilege in Beverly Hills would be the best version of their most charitable selves, right?
Sure.
A scene near the end of the film finds Cher and Josh stumbling over how to admit their mutual feelings for each other, culminating a tender kiss on the stairs of their home. The film has a Hollywood ending for Cher. Mr. Hall and Miss Geist get married. Her friendships with Ty and Deanna are reaffirmed and solidified. Ty and Travis are in love. And now, in Josh's arm, she's too found love. I forgot to mention the scene where she does her persuasive argument about the Haitians, which I'm very shocked Sam didn't tell the fact that Alicia Silverstone actually mispronounced Haitians like that, and no one told her the correct pronunciation.
It's actually better than that. I didn't bring it up because I thought you would. So she mispronounced it. And right away, they could see, like, the people on the set being like, like, during the take. And the director, like, ran around and was like, "No, do not correct her. Do not tell her she said this wrong. It's perfect."
Yeah. And it was about refugees, taking refugees. And she was saying, you know, as the U.S. government, just like my dinner party, when too many people showed up, just go in the kitchen, rearrange some things, and then we'll have a better time because the more the merrier. And it's like, yeah, Trump.
Yeah, you know who didn't listen to that speech?
Stacey Dash!
Stacey Dash!
Should we close out with one more Stacey Dash tweet? "Trying to make it on your own is very hard, but we have those who supported us. I was blessed with friends and family who helped me become the woman I am. Faith is also my guide through life. It was the clarity I needed when I needed direction." Clean, what are you, grade Clueless?
I'm going to give it way too high to grade, I think.
Yeah.
Because I just love it. I have seen it so many times. I enjoy it every time. So I think I'm going to give it an A minus.
Nice.
It's very high. And it is one of the better movies of that genre, I think. And also, I wanted to...
What's the genre?
Teen films.
What's one worse and one better?
Mean Girls, 10 Things I Hate About You, better. She's the Man.
Mm.
Any of the Breakfast Club films.
Have you actually seen those films?
Yes, I've seen all those films.
Oh, there's more than one? Oh, you're talking about all the John
the
Hughes.
Brad Pack films.
Gotcha,
sorry.
Gotcha. I will give it a B minus. I did say earlier I liked the characters, but I only liked the main character and the skateboarder and Stacey Dash a little bit. I didn't like Paul Rudd's character at all, really. I don't really grade it very high. Well, it's pretty high. Bee Mice. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's almost Good Will Hunting. Who are we sponsored by this week?
We are sponsored by the Girl Scouts of America once again.
Again?
Again! They have so much money they don't know what to do with it. They like that they throw some our way.
I bet most of that money is mine. I've bought a lot of boxes.
Girl Scouting builds girls of courage, confidence, and character who make the world a better place. Are you ready for a lifetime of leadership, success, and adventure? Join the Girl Scouts today.
This fake sponsorship bit where we do is funny when we actually just read the ads off the box. Anyway, join us next time for what film are we doing?
Oh, fuck. Give me a second. Vamp.
Boy, so hold on. I got a perfect vamp here. The goal of staying positive is not for those bearing negativity around you, but for yourself. Not stooping to a lower level and letting the actions ruin your day shows a high level of maturity. At the end of the day, it's your happiness that matters the most.
And our next film is... Oh my God.
Is it Mean Girls?
No, because we're doing a not fun one.
Gotcha.
Sorry, it's not loading correctly. Mikey, vamp!
When I look back on my life, all that I've accomplished, all of my mistakes, and all the times I'd wish I'd taken a different path, I ultimately try to remember that every step I've ever taken has led me to where I am today. I'm freed in knowing God's plan is at work in my life.
And our next film is The Departed.
Oh, that's a film. And...
stay tuned for a trailer for that.
And cut.
When I was your age, they would say we could become cops or criminals. What I'm saying is this. When you're facing a loaded gun, what's the difference?
This is not the regular police. This is the state police.
We are an elite unit.
This is who we're after.
Frank Costello.
You won't be paid as a regular cop, but there's a bonus involved.
So what do I do?
You will not ever know the identity of undercover people.
Do you have anyone in with Costello presently?
Maybe.
Do you know who I am?
Maybe not.
I'm gonna have my associates search you.
That was quick. You think he's dead already?
Get your hands off me!
I think we could work something out.
We are all convinced that Costello has at least one mole inside the Special Investigations Unit.
There are parts of my job I can't talk to you about.
Man, you are trouble.
You don't know the half of it.
You better get organized, quick.
Hey, last time I checked, I tipped you off and you're not in jail.
Getting the feeling we got a cop in my crew.
Sooner or later, he's gonna find out who I am and he's gonna kill me.
You just gotta let me do it my way.
If you don't, it won't be me who pays for it.
There is no pain you are receiving.
There is a leak from the inside. It's real, man. Smoke him out.
Lying to me.
There are things you don't want to know about.
What are you waiting for, honestly? I mean, do you want him to chop me up and feed me to the poor? Is that what you guys want?
How's your mother?
She's on her way out.
You all are. Act accordingly.